you going to stand up for what you believe, or are you going to compromise that to win Miss USA?
The president is somebody who prays each and every day, whether it's National Prayer Day or not.
Protect the dignity of every human person, the sanctity of human life from the tiny baby in the womb.
Hold up your Bible. Say it like you mean it. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do. I will never be the same. God bless you.
Thank you for providing theology for clerical collar, white collar, and blue collar.
Well, we knew it was going to happen sooner or later, although I don't think that the money was on David Souter. It was on some other justice that was going to decide to retire. But David Souter never really liked it in Washington, D.C., wants to go back to his home state, and he's ready to get off the high court. That's the news. The question is, what's it going to mean for pro-life and pro-family in the United States? Phyllis Schlafly will be our guest here for the first few minutes of this hour of Issues Etc. Greetings and welcome. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in live this Friday afternoon, the 1st of May. Our call-in number for the next hour, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE, and our in-studio email address, talkback@issuesetc.org. After our conversation with Phyllis Schlafly, Dr. Corey Moss is going to join us from Concordia University in Irvine, California. We're going to be talking with him about defending the Christian faith. It's called Christian Apologetics. And then we'll spend the last half hour of the program remembering, along with the rest of the church, St. Philip and St. James. Dr. Peter Scare of Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana, will be our guest. 1-877-623-6943 or talkback@issuesetc.org. Phyllis Schlafly is a regular guest, founder of Eagle Forum, and author of several books, including The Supremacists, The Tyranny of Judges, and How to Stop It. Phyllis, welcome back.
Hello, Todd. Good to talk to you.
Is the retirement, the imminent retirement of David Souter, a setback for pro-life, pro-family in America?
Well, it's a setback in as much as it gives the President Obama the opportunity to appoint somebody of his views. Souter was a terrible disappointment to George Bush, who appointed him, and he's been bad on most issues. However, Obama has a very radical view of the court. He thinks that the Supreme Court should not just interpret the laws and the cases that are before them, but should use all the power they have in order to remake the socioeconomic structure of our country. In other words, he wants the court to shift the power and the money from the people who are paying taxes to the people who are not paying taxes. That's really what he's for.
You mentioned that President George Bush, George W. Bush's father, appointed David Souter to the high court. What were the expectations of Souter at the time? And you said he'd proved to be a disappointment. What do you mean specifically by that?
Well, we certainly expected the first President Bush to appoint somebody who would be in line with Republican principles, pro-life, strict construction, in line with limited government, and certainly in line with what's written in the Constitution. And somehow he got conned into accepting David Souter, whom nobody knew much about, but whom a number of people recognized that he had been pro-abortion when he served on some hospital board in New Hampshire. And unfortunately, he had a free ride and got confirmed and has handed down many decisions that we think are very unfortunate.
He allied himself early on these issues with what was at the time probably the liberal minority on the court, some others of whom were also Republican appointees, weren't they?
Well, of course, the first President Bush gave us Clarence Thomas, and that was a great thing. I think he's the finest justice on the court. However, Souter was a terrible disappointment.
Okay, what do you make of the current makeup of the Supreme Court on social issues like abortion, gay marriage, euthanasia?
The see, the Supreme Court at the present time is very well divided, for liberals, for conservatives, and Justice Kennedy is the swing vote. So the question when cases go up before the court is, how is Justice Kennedy going to vote? And he does seem to switch back and forth. We don't know what he's going to do. And you find in the legal writing all kinds of speculation and anticipation about what he's going to do. Souter has been pretty much reliably in the liberal wing.
You talked earlier about President Obama's view of the court being more activist, I think is a good summary of what you said there.
Yes.
Do any of the current occupants of the Supreme Court share his views on an activist judiciary, as far as you can tell?
Of the current members of the court?
Yes.
Well, the liberals all do. The liberals think they can do whatever they want. They call it a living constitution, which means that they can look to their own social and economic pretenses and decide whatever they want. As Justice Thomas said one time, when a judge is confronted with an issue, he should look at the Constitution and ask, does the Constitution allow it or does the Constitution forbid it? And then you know how you're supposed to rule, because the Constitution is written in black and white on a piece of paper. And it's one of the great advances in world history that self-government has given us a written constitution. But Justice Souter doesn't fall in that group, and he's bad enough, but we are really worried about what Obama will do.
Have you been similarly disappointed in two of Ronald Reagan's appointees, Justice Anthony Kennedy and former Justice Sandra Day O'Connor?
Yes, terribly disappointed in them. President Reagan, during his campaign, got kind of trapped into saying he would appoint a female justice. Well, that's really dumb, because you ought to appoint a good jurist who will do the right thing, not somebody because she's a woman. And Sandra Day O'Connor probably misled Reagan into believing she was pro-life, but she turned out not to be so. So she's been a really disappointment. Of course, I did oppose her when she was nominated. I had no anticipations that she would be good, because she is a feminist like Ruth Bader Ginsburg. And they have a very different view of the Constitution and what it ought to do in our society. Kennedy had really no record in any of the type of issues that you and I care about. He had been a kind of a competent judge in a kind of run-of-the-mill cases, but nobody could point to the way he would rule on social issues. And so, again, he's been another big disappointment.
Why have, at times, conservative presidents been unable to appoint conservative justices?
Well, for one thing, when a judge goes on the court, he gets this idea that he belongs to this rarefied class of people whom I call supremacists. In other words, they get to thinking. They are rulers over the rest of us and over the other branches of government. They seem to think they acquire some sort of divine authority after they put on those black robes. And really, they're just ordinary people like you and me. And they took an oath to uphold and defend the Constitution, and they ought to read the Constitution and get their results in there. Now, you notice that Ruth Bader Ginsburg, the other feminist on the court, has been going around recently saying that our court should look to foreign decisions and foreign law in making our decisions. That is a terrible idea. She said this at some big symposium at the University of Miami in Ohio recently. And some of the liberal justices agree with her. So I think whoever's appointed ought to be worked over by the senators on that. Are you going to stick with the U.S. Constitution that you swore to uphold and defend? Or are you going to get some of your bad ideas from foreign law and foreign decisions?
Finally, then, with only about 30 seconds, Phyllis, will you be losing any sleep over the departure of Justice David Souter from the Supreme Court?
Yes, because it could be worse. whoever Obama picks could be worse. And the lawyers that he has already started to pick are really revolutionaries who have joined in the Obama campaign to remake America. And we don't want them to remake our Constitution. It's a very fine Constitution. All they need to do is obey it. So for updates, you can go on my website, eagleforum.org.
Folks, check out Phyllis Schlafly's book called The Supremacist under the on-demand page of our website, issuesetc.org. Issuesetc.org. Phyllis Schlafly is founder of Eagle Forum, author of several books, including The Supremacist, The Tyranny of Judges, and How to Stop It. Phyllis, thank you very much.
Have a good day. God bless.
When we come back, Dr. Corey Moss is going to join us. We're going to talk about a subject that some people believe is foreign to Reformation theology, Christian apologetics. And if it isn't foreign, it's a difficult fit. Defending the Christian faith. What is the proper place of Christian apologetics? If we think of apologetics as a tool, what is it designed to do? What are its limitations? And what does it do very, very well? We'll answer those questions on the other side of the break. Dr. Corey Moss of Concordia University, Irvine, California, will be our guest. You can join us as well, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MY-I-E, or email us with questions or comments on Christian apologetics, defending the Christian faith, talkback@issuesetc.org, talkback@issuesetc.org. Stay tuned.